Chapter 13, Growing Pains. Chapter Preview, Terms. Tax, Ordinance, Cooperative, Grandfather Clause, Gerrymandering, Impeachment, Head Right, Draft, Council of Defense, Dissenter, Pandemic, Armistice. People: Kate Barnard, Lee Kruse, Robert L. Williams, Tom Slick, Wirt Franklin, Sidney Suggs, Cyrus Avery, Choctaw Code Talkers. Places: Greenwood, Cushing, Helton, Camp Donovan. The eyes of the nation were on the baby state of Oklahoma. The population at the time of statehood was almost 1.5 million, and Oklahoma was growing faster than any other state. The growth had come in tsunami-sized waves. The forced relocation of the Native Americans, the post-Civil War influx of non-Indians to Indian Territory, and the opening of the Western Territory land. The story that was unfolding in the heartland of the country was already like no other. At the time of statehood, Oklahoma had 5,000 miles of railway track, and crop production was impressive. 97,000 bushels of corn, 30 million bushels of wheat, 670,000 bales of cotton. Oklahoma also had 20% of the American petroleum supply. The new state was reported to have 12,000 manufacturing plants, 250,000 farms, 24 cities of more than 10,000 people, and a $35 million fund for public schools. The Washington Post reported on November 18, 1907, quote, "The future of the state will be watched with the most cordial interest. Oklahoma is neither a southern nor a northern state, but a commonwealth which seems to combine the genial, hospitable qualities of the South with the energy and enterprise of the North, and those who know it best predict great things for its future. May its prosperity increase in the future as it has in the past, and may its politics be as clean and its people as happy as its broad acres are fertile and its people are enterprising." End quote. Section 1, Politics. As you read, look for early legislation passed by the first legislature, the actions taken by the legislature that were the beginning of segregation in Oklahoma, the growth of the Socialist Party, the new capital city, and vocabulary terms: tax, ordinance, cooperative, grandfather clause, gerrymandering, and impeachment. The Oklahoma Supreme Court convened for the first time on Statehood Day, and Robert L. Williams of Durant was selected to serve as the Chief Justice. Governor Charles Haskell's first official act was to appoint the previously chosen Robert L. Owen of Muskogee and Thomas P. Gore of Lawton as the U.S. Senators from Oklahoma. Haskell also took action that first day to prevent the Standard Oil Company from laying a natural gas pipeline from Washington County, Oklahoma, to Kansas. Haskell and others wanted to use the state's natural gas resources to build new industries in Oklahoma rather than in other states. First State Legislature. Oklahoma's first legislature convened in December 1907. Henry S. Johnston was elected Senate President pro tem, and William Murray was named Speaker of the House. For the most part, the progressive movement set the tone for the legislative session as it had for the state constitution. Some national labor reforms were later modeled after the Oklahoma labor policy, which dealt with safety for mines, child labor, factory inspections, health and sanitation, employers' liability for workers' injuries, labor disputes, public employment, convict-made goods, and more. Following the lead of other states, the first legislature established a Labor Day holiday. So much that we take for granted today was established during the first legislative session. provisions were made for county and local governments, establishing towns and cities, elections, school districts, school financing and building construction, teacher training, textbooks, school attendance, and more. Taxes were authorized to keep the new government operating. A tax is an amount charged citizens and businesses by their governments, federal, state, local, to pay for services provided. A tax based on income was adopted, as were taxes on personal and real property. Money from property taxes was earmarked for local government and public schools. Taxes were also set on the gross revenue from pipelines, coal mines, and telegraph lines, and for the gross production of oil, railroads, telephones, and electricity. An inheritance tax, sometimes called a death tax, was placed on property. The legislature addressed the problem of the sometimes unstable banks of the day with a bank guarantee law. Governor Haskell and the legislature knew that strong banks were necessary for a strong economy and that the public's trust in the banking system was vital. Each state-chartered bank contributed 1% of its average daily balance to a fund that was used to insure deposits in the event of a bank's failure. The act was repealed by the 9th legislature when the guarantee fund was depleted. Higher education. Before statehood, each territory had developed its own educational structure. Locations for Oklahoma territorial schools were selected primarily as a result of land and money contributions from local communities. By 1892, the Oklahoma Territorial University in Norman, University of Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Territorial Normal School in Edmond, University of Central Oklahoma, and the Oklahoma Territorial Agricultural and Mechanical School in Stillwater, Oklahoma State University, were holding classes. Before 1907, other colleges were located at Alva, Langston, Weatherford, Kingfisher, and Tonkawa. Private institutions included Epworth University, later renamed Oklahoma City University, which was founded in 1904, Henry Kendall College, established in Muskogee in 1894 and moved to Tulsa in 1907, later became Tulsa University, Phillips University in Enid, and Oklahoma Baptist University in Shawnee were both established in 1907. The legislature wanted to provide educational opportunities throughout the state. In 1909, three normal schools were established in eastern Oklahoma, southeastern in Durant, northeastern in Tahlequah, and east central in Ada. A university preparatory school was established at Claremore. Two college-level schools were created, the Industrial Institute and College for Girls at Chickasha, and the School of Mines and Metallurgy at Wilburton. Six secondary agricultural schools were created. They were Connor State in Warner, Murray State in Tishomingo, Cameron State in Lawton, Haskell State in Broken Arrow, Connell State in Helena, and Panhandle State in Goodwell. The Miami School of Mines was created in 1919. Other state institutions included an orphanage at Pryor, a school for the deaf at Sulphur, and a mental hospital at Veneta. Legal discrimination. Racial overtones also defined the first legislature and many of those that followed. Oklahoma was not acting alone in the way it dealt with the segregation issue. In 1896, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Plessy v. Ferguson that African Americans could be segregated, separated from whites if equal facilities were provided. The first issue acted upon by the legislature was Senate Bill No. 1, which segregated African Americans on railway cars and in waiting rooms. the racially biased law passed with support from both parties. Blacks and some members of the Socialist Party were outraged, and riots broke out in several towns. Citizens burned the railroad station in the black community of Taft, and passionate voices spoke at many public meetings. African Americans also suffered under de facto, actual if not legal, segregation. In Oklahoma City, for example, blacks made up about 10% of the population, and most lived in segregated neighborhoods in generally undesirable areas. Some blacks prospered and began to buy houses in all-white neighborhoods. The Oklahoma City Board of Commissioners enacted an ordinance, a local law, making it illegal for a person to move into a block on which 75% of the buildings were occupied by people of a different race. The ordinance effectively prevented blacks from moving into white neighborhoods and segregated everything from churches to dance halls. Roscoe Dungy, publisher of the Black Dispatch, and William Floyd, a black shoemaker, tested the law. Floyd purchased a home on an all-white block and tried to move in several times. Each time he was arrested, and each time Dungy bailed him out. When the case reached the federal court, a judge ruled that the ordinance was unconstitutional and Floyd had the right to move into his property. In spite of everything, blacks were generally better off in Oklahoma than in the South. For instance, compared to Texas, more black children in Oklahoma attended school, fewer were illiterate, and the average value of a black-owned farm was double that of one in Texas. By 1910, the state's black population was 137,612, or 8% of the total. About 18% of the blacks were enrolled members of Indian tribes. In addition to having several all-black communities, many of the larger cities and towns in the state had sizable black neighborhoods, as did Oklahoma City. An area in Tulsa called Greenwood was becoming an important black community with a thriving business district. Political parties. The territorial government in Oklahoma was primarily Republican, but in 1907, the Democratic Party took control. All of the elected officials and the majority of both the state and federal representatives were Democrats. Another national party, the Socialist Party, also gained strong support in the new state. The Socialist Party formed in 1901 when the Social Democratic Party and the Socialist Labor Party of America combined. Most of the party's supporters were in Midwestern and Plains states, and they included trade unionists, miners, immigrants, and intellectuals. Many of Oklahoma's early farmers had battled bad weather and poor crop prices and were facing desperate economic situations. Some of the state's farmers, miners, and others had emigrated from socialist countries, and others believed the political and economic elite were creating poverty for the common people. For many, the Socialist Party best addressed their needs. For 7 years after statehood, the socialist vote increased in Oklahoma. In 1910, there were more Socialist Party members in our state than in any other. The voters supported candidates who promised to create publicly owned cooperatives, organizations owned by and operated for those using their services, provide state credit for farmers, and force the breakup of large land holdings. Many of the issues socialists supported were also championed by the progressive movement. The socialists became the Democrats' main opposition in the state until World War I brought better crop prices and questions about party members' loyalty. Oklahomans participated in a national election for the first time in 1908. Oklahoma's 7 electoral votes went to Democrat William Jennings Bryan, although Republican William Howard Taft won the national election. Democrats retained the majority in the second legislature, but one new House member was Republican A.C. Hamlin an African American, from Guthrie. Republicans won 3 of Oklahoma's 5 U.S. congressional seats in 1908. Democrats blamed the new Republican strength on black voters. In 1910, the Democrat-controlled legislature added a Jim Crow law similar to those in other southern states that limited voting by African Americans. The bill sent to Oklahoma voters provided that, to register to vote, a person had to prove that he could read and write parts of the state constitution or was a descendant of a person who was eligible to vote on January 1, 1866. This was commonly called the Grandfather Clause. Although the law did not specifically mention blacks, it virtually denied African Americans the right to vote. Social Reform. Born in Nebraska and raised in Kansas, Kate Barnard moved to Oklahoma Territory with her father in the 1890s. She worked as a teacher and stenographer, but she found that her passion was in social reform and politics. In 1907, at age 32, Barnard became the first woman in the nation elected to a state position, that of Commissioner of Charities and Corrections. Incensed with the deplorable conditions and mistreatment of Oklahoma prisoners at the Kansas Penitentiary at Lansing, Barnard worked to return the prisoners to Oklahoma. The first group of prisoners was moved to McAllister in October 1908, even though a prison facility had not yet been built. Barnard's vision of a good prison was one which turns out the largest percentage of prisoners who never returned to a life of crime. The legislature appropriated funds for a state penitentiary in McAllister, where citizens had donated 100 acres of land for the facility. Prisoners built their own temporary stockade and then began construction on the penitentiary in May 1909. Political wrangling soon began for a state reformatory in the southwestern part of the state. The Oklahoma State Reformatory was established in March 1909 at Granite, although the facility was not completed until 1914. Barnard worked tirelessly for laws to prohibit child labor, require school attendance, and provide facilities for orphans and the mentally ill. Barnard developed her ideas after touring factories and slums in other states. She wrote, quote, "No man can deal intelligently with life until he first understands how all classes of men live and under what conditions they make their daily bread." End quote. Barnard stepped down from her position in 1914, but she left an enduring legacy. Oklahoma Kate, as she was known across the nation, was often requested to present her ideas and methods for charities and correction reforms throughout the country. Moving a capital. The Enabling Act of 1906 designated Guthrie as the capital of Oklahoma until at least 1913. As the cities began to take shape, the Republican influence became prominent in Guthrie, while Oklahoma City had more of a Democratic flavor. Eager to move the capital from the Republican hotbed, Governor Haskell called for a special election on Saturday, June 11, 1910, to determine whether Guthrie, Oklahoma City, or Shawnee would be the capital city. Oklahoma City received the most votes. Haskell sent his private secretary, W.B. Anthony, to Guthrie to take possession of the state seal. On Sunday, June 12th, Anthony delivered the official state seal to Secretary of State Bill Cross in the government's temporary Oklahoma City offices in the Lee Huckins Hotel. Haskell issued a proclamation, imprinted with the seal, declaring Oklahoma City the state capital. Oklahomans were surprised to learn that Haskell had so quickly proclaimed Oklahoma City the capital. Guthrie protested the move in the courts, but Oklahoma City remained the state capital. In addition to moving the state capital, Haskell oversaw efforts to enforce Oklahoma's prohibition law and state rates for railroad passengers. State Attorney General Charles West was directed to crack down on unlawful activity between county and law officials and those who made and sold illegal whiskey. The Corporation Commission held firm in its fight with the powerful railroad companies to continue state rates for passenger fares of 2 cents per mile. Oklahoma's next governors. Lee Cruz, an Ardmore banker, was elected Oklahoma's second governor in 1910. He appointed a commission to manage the construction of the state capitol, which was designed by Solomon Layton and S. Wemyss Smith. The building was completed in June 1917 at a cost of about $1.5 million. Although the plans called for a dome on the Capitol, it was not added at the time because of a wartime steel shortage. The dome was finally added to the building in 2002 at a cost of $21 million. In 1910, state government spending had increased from $4 million to $9 million. Governor Cruz attempted to reduce government and cut costs, a move that angered the legislature. Cruz and lawmakers were also at odds on redrawing the state's congressional districts. According to the 1910 census, Oklahoma's population was 1,657,155, which increased its number of congressional seats from 5 to 8. The Democratic-controlled legislature wanted to redraw the districts to weaken the Republican vote, a process called gerrymandering. When Cruz threatened to veto the legislature's plan, the matter was deferred until 1913, and the new congressmen were elected at large in 1912. More automobiles in Oklahoma and the nation resulted in Cruz establishing the Oklahoma Department of Highways with Sidney Suggs as director in 1911. Roads were to be built and improved with an annual $1 license fee per automobile. Cruz spent a great deal of time battling the legislature, which began investigating the executive branch. The governor escaped impeachment by a single vote. Impeachment is the process of charging a public official with wrongdoing while that official is still in office. The state auditor and insurance commissioner resigned, and the state printer was impeached on a charge of illegal claims against state funds. Democrat Robert L. Williams of Durant resigned as Chief Justice and was elected governor in 1914. Williams's administration tried to reduce state spending, but it also expanded the state highway system and pushed for welfare laws. During his term, the legislature enacted a workers' compensation law, government insurance for accidental death or injury in the workplace, limited a woman's workday to 9 hours, and established funds for veterans, widows, and orphans. Cotton gins were classified as public utilities and subject to regulation by the state. Williams was the first governor to move into the new capital in 1917. During Williams' tenure, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the state's grandfather clause that, in effect, had silenced the black vote. A number of state election officials were convicted of violating federal election laws and were sentenced to prison, although they were later pardoned. When the pardons were appealed, the court ruled in Gwinn v. United States that the state amendment was a violation of the 15th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Williams then tried to limit the black vote by basing the exemption on military service rather than literacy, but Oklahomans voted against the proposal. Another effort aimed at limiting the black vote established a short 2-week registration period for voters not previously eligible, which was practiced until it was declared unlawful in 1939 by the Lane v. Wilson decision. It's your turn. Number 1, what is the purpose of taxes? Number 2, what was the result of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in Plessy versus Ferguson? Number 3, what 3 cities vied to be the state capital?